If I were to venture a guess, I would say that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs when he had teenagers. And the reason I say that is because what he wrote to his own children in this book, especially to his oldest son, was not what dads tend to say to their kids when they're in elementary school. Tell me this doesn't sound like what a father would say to his teenage son. Look at these verses. Go to the next slide. Pay attention to what your father and mother tell you. My son, do not forget my teaching. Always remember what I tell you to do. My son, listen to me and do as I say. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. I mean, we don't have to say stuff like that to our kids when they're young because they naturally imitate us. I mean, young kids think that their dad is the smartest guy in the world, right? They want to be just like him or just like their mom when they grow up. Do you remember Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter? He died in the year 2006, but now his 13-year-old son, Robert, is following in his footsteps. Look at this scene from a Tonight Show recently.
Your shows and stuff like that. And I loved your dad so much. Steve Irwin is just... This is the cutest. It's you and your dad.
It is, yeah.
Aww. I mean, come on.
So that's actually a little green iguana, and they love flowers. They love the hibiscus flowers. It's like catnip for them. They
really?
Just love it.
I love it, but this is it. This is so cool to see you. Like, you're actually your dad. I mean, this is like you're so excited.
Well, my dad was actually on the Tonight Show quite a while ago, and so it's really nice to be able to follow in his footsteps. It's really great.
This means a lot to me. I'm so happy.
No, thank you.
Now you brought some animals with you tonight.
Yes, we did.
I'm a little afraid of animals. So
that's all right. Well, we'll help you overcome your fear. Thank you.
That looks dangerous.
All right. So,
is it a picnic?
No, not quite.
We're just going to eat together.
So this one, this is Beetlejuice, the African dwarf crocodile.
Okay.
Isn't he just amazing? He's gorgeous. Now, would you like to pat him? Would you like to give him a little pat?
Yeah, does he have teeth?
There you go. Yeah, he does.
He does have teeth.
My dad called them frogs with sharp teeth. You've got nothing to worry about.
Okay.
There you go. You just pat him on the tail.
Yep. You're not going to move
anything,
right?
No, you'll be all good. You'll be all good. Okay. There you go. Well done. That's amazing. Good job.
Isn't that kind of freaky to see something like that? I mean, he said, you are your dad. That's the way, that's the way that kids think. You don't have to tell them to imitate their parents. They do it instinctively. But there comes a time, and usually it's when listening to their parents would be most beneficial to them that teenagers start to assert their independence. And whether they are going to emerge from adolescence with the same values as their parents or with a whole new moral compass is what keeps a lot of dads and moms up at night. How ironic that the time when young people most need their parents' guidance is when they are most likely to reject it. Well, Solomon did his best to retain his influence on his kids as they grew older. In fact, he was so determined to make sure that his kids didn't go off the rails that he wrote a book for them, the book of Proverbs. And even though that book made its way into our Bible, in the beginning, Proverbs was really nothing more than the product of a dad who was doing everything he could do to teach his kids what they needed to know before they flew the coop. And there are certain things that he repeated over and over again in this book, as if to say, if you forget everything else I tell you, don't forget this. And one thing that he practically shouted to his kids, who for some reason I picture plugging their ears, was that the primary way that God gives young people wisdom is through their parents. Teenagers, doesn't that advice just warm your hearts? No, it makes you roll your eyes, doesn't it? Because really, honestly, how could people who don't even know how to use Snapchat have anything valuable to say to us? I mean, Who are they with all of their flaws, with all of their wrinkles, with all those gray hairs, to teach us how to live? Well, here's who they are. They are people who want to share with you what they have learned from trial and error about how life works, so that your life will be better than theirs. They desperately want to help you avoid suffering and achieve success. And the Proverbs are really very specific about the benefits of listening to your parents lecture you rather than tuning them out. Let's look at a few passages that tell us how we should respond to our parents' advice and why it's important. Look up here at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Solomon says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." Just stop right there. First of all, I just want you to notice what he says we're supposed to do with our parents' advice. What is it? We're supposed to not forget it. We're supposed to keep it in our heart. We're supposed to absorb it like a sponge, rather than deflecting it like Gore-Tex. Why? Because, verse 2, they, that is your parents' words of advice, will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Now, you have to admit, that's a pretty attractive list, because who doesn't want a longer, happier, wealthier life? How do we get that? This passage says that we get it by treasuring the wisdom that is passed on to us by our parents. And then here's Proverbs 4, verse 1. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound teaching, so do not forsake my teaching." Notice the commands there. Listen, pay attention, do not forsake. Or as one paraphrase says, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. And just where did Solomon get the idea that being a dad qualifies him to tell his kids how to live? Where do you think he got it? He got it from his dad, of course. And who was Solomon's dad? It was David, Israel's greatest king. In verse 3, Solomon says, "For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live.'" So what was David's motive for lecturing Solomon? He wanted his son to live long and well. So he said to him, verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you." Doesn't that express the heart of a parent toward their kids? I mean, we would do anything to protect them from danger, from failure, from pain. And sometimes all we know to do is to tell them what we know and to plead with them to listen to us. So David did with his son Solomon. It's what Solomon did with his son Rehoboam. And young people, this is what your parents are doing with you now. That endless barrage of words is their attempt to protect you and to set you on the path toward a long and good life. Keep reading through the first several chapters of Proverbs and you'll see it over and over again, because parents just repeat themselves endlessly. Teenagers, how many times have you thought, or maybe even said out loud, "You said this to me 1,000 times"? But in Proverbs 4, verses 10 through 12, Solomon says it for the 1,001st time. "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble." Got it, Dad. But he keeps going. In verses 20 through 22 of the same chapter, Solomon says again, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." Is he done yet? Nope. chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. End of lecture. Finally. But what was Solomon trying to drill into his son's mind, into his heart? He was trying to help him to understand that the advice of a parent is invaluable. Ignore it at your own risk. That's what the book of Proverbs says to young people. It says something that this world will never tell you. You're not going to get this message anywhere else. The people through whom God will give you wisdom primarily is the very people that this world tells you not to listen to. It's your parents. But let's state the obvious. Some parents are better at giving advice than others. They have better advice to give. And I know that's what some of you are thinking. Like, if you knew my dad, you would not tell me to take his advice. And it's true that not everything parents try to teach their kids is wise. As a matter of fact, Solomon himself, the guy who wrote this stuff, was not a model father. Now, his father, David, was a terrific role model. The scripture says that David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and did not fail to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Yeah, there was that. That was bad. There's no sugarcoating that regrettable chapter in David's life, but the scripture says that, I mean, and don't all of us have that? I mean, is there anybody here that says, no, there's never been a time in my life when I screwed up? No, we all have that. But you look at the videotape of David's life and the scripture says, this was a man after God's own heart. Ironically, Solomon, this guy who wrote all these verses telling his son to listen to him, was himself not a very teachable son. 1 Kings 11 says that his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David had been. It says that Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And that he did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. So now, here's Solomon begging his own boy, Rehoboam, to do what he himself had not done. How do you think that worked for him? Predictably, not well. 2 Chronicles 12 says that after Rehoboam's position as king was established and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. He did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Now, why didn't Rehoboam take his dad's advice? Simple. His father's actions spoke louder than his words. And the apple didn't fall far from the tree. If you want to watch a great movie about the power of a parent's example, check out The Emperor's Club. This movie is about a classics teacher at a prestigious boarding school who is trying to do more than just teach his students the history of Western civilization. He's also trying to instill in them integrity and character. But he meets his match in the rebellious son of a U.S. senator. And finally, in exasperation, the teacher schedules an appointment with the boy's father at his office on Capitol Hill. And when he says to the father, it's my job to mold your son's character, he's interrupted. Mold him? You're not going to mold my boy. Your job is to teach my son. You teach him his times tables. Teach him why the world is round. Teach him who killed who and when and where. That is your job. You, sir, will not mold my son. I will mold him. And he did, which is why the son in this story grows up to be very much like his father. And the movie takes you all the way to the point where the son is a grown man who has children of his own. And I want to tell you what happened, but it'll spoil the plot. Suffice it to say that the example that we set for our children has a ripple effect that lasts for generations. And I have to say, as a dad, that reading Solomon's words to his son against the backdrop of the example he set for him underscores for me the sobering truth that our kids are much more likely to do what we do than they are to do what we say. And so we just have to strive to be what we want our kids to become. And when we fail, which we will, we need to follow the example of David, who admitted his faults, who pleaded with his son not to be like him in that way. And then we just need to pray like crazy. And if you have parents who are less than perfect role models, I just have a few words of advice to give you. Number one, forgive them. Nobody knows your parents like you do. And so nobody has the kind of power that you have to help them feel the grace of God. When you've watched them make mistakes, serious mistakes, that have hurt you deeply, and you say, I forgive you, that is one of the most powerful experiences of a parent's life. And they are very likely to see God in what you do for them. Forgive them. Second, honor them. Not just today, but every day, honor them. Speak well of them, even if you have to leave out a lot to do so. And third, learn from everything they say and do, good and bad. In other words, don't just follow their advice and their example indiscriminately. Eat the meat and spit out the bones. Psalm 1 says, happy are those who reject the advice of evil people. And Solomon himself wrote in Proverbs 12 that the advice of the wicked is deceitful. So if in any way your parents are evil or wicked, if there's anything about them that is ungodly, then learn from that. What I mean is learn not to do what they have done. Look to better mentors for guidance in that area of your life. But don't reject everything your parents say. Search for that needle of wisdom in the haystack of nonsense. Learn what you can from your parents, no matter how flawed they are. Because just living on this earth for an extended period of time gives even irreligious people a measure of wisdom. This week I read a blog post written by a Christian man in California by the name of Roger Chance. He wrote, I grew up in a non-Christian home and was always told by my parents, right or wrong, we are always right. And do as I say, not as I do. Needless to say, that didn't sit well with me, and I was punished a lot. I had a lot of resentment toward my parents and started thinking to myself, I can't wait until the day I move out of here. It wasn't until I became a Christian 6 years ago and allowed God to transform me and my thinking that I knew I needed to make some changes to break the chains of my past. For Christmas that year, I decided to write a tribute to my dad. He would always say, I had nothing to do with the way you kids turned out. So I titled it, What I Learned from You When You Weren't Looking. I started with some small things. I learned my work ethic from him. And after a while, more and more good things started to come out. Like the value of being there for your kids, no matter what. One of my favorite memories with my dad is at the time he attended one of my soccer games in the pouring down rain. I didn't realize just how many things I had learned from him that benefit my life today. My stepmom called me and told me that it made my dad cry when he read what I had written to him. Father's Day is a great time to thank your dad for the good things he has taught you and to forgive him for the rest. I mean, after all, dads are just people. who are in way over their heads trying to make their kids' lives better than their own. And of course they fail. Who doesn't? But that's why Jesus came, to wipe our slate clean and to give us a fresh start. Let's do the same for our dads. And let's never get too old to learn from our parents the wisdom that God has given them for our benefit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this gift that sometimes we appreciate and sometimes we resent, but what an amazing gift it is, the parents that you have given us. And today, specifically, we do thank you for our fathers. We thank you for everything that we have learned from them, good and bad. We thank you for the ways that they have reflected who you are and for the ways that you are unlike them, that you're a better father. And we pray that today, Lord, you would just give us the grace to have the kind of perspective toward our fathers that you want us to have. Help us to be full of gratitude and full of graciousness so that we can help them to feel your love. In Jesus' name, amen.